Good morning. How's everyone today? You still scratching from all those mosquitoes last night? Water and salt. Rub it on, she says. I don't know. I've never been bitten more times than this camp meeting, I think. For those of you who are expecting David Hamilton, he came to me in a desperate plea for help. Because he had his big series that he's doing starting at 3 o'clock for family ministry. So he said, Ryan, can you switch with me? And I said, sure. And he kept on talking Wednesday. Like, he kept on mentioning Wednesday. And I said, yeah, sure. He said, but do you have enough time to prepare? I said, well, yeah, it's Wednesday. And he said, no, it's tomorrow. I said, well, yeah, I still have time to prepare. I have all evening. I'll do that for you. So we sat down I sat down and Erna gave me a hand. My wife was using my phone, so Erna was looking up some verses for me as I was going along, and hopefully we will all be blessed. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Spirit is among us this week. We thank you that you have been blessing us abundantly, and we thank you that you will bless us again this morning as we dive into your Word, and may we increase in fellowship and enjoy each other's company and enjoy our time with you this morning as well. We thank you for being ever present with us. In Jesus' name, amen. The longer I am in church, and the longer and how many people are lifers? Yeah, you've been in the church all your life. So for me, that's 36 years as of last month. And I've noticed slowly over time that there seems to be, you ever have that feeling that there's a little bit of something missing, but you can't quite put your finger on it? Well, I'm not saying I have the complete recipe, but I think we have one more ingredient that we can throw into the cake mix. And it's a topic that comes to my mind quite frequently and, of course, makes its way into my sermons. And as well, it's been a topic of concern amongst myself and a couple of other pastors, as well as many of the 18 to 35-year-old range that I tend to talk to on a regular basis. So I do believe that it is something that is important for our time and that we lack in our regular church worship. So we're going to go into it and touch on some verses here and go through some of them and see what we can come up with. We're going to start in John chapter 16 and verse 24 for those of you that are bringing your Bibles with you. 16:24. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Have you noticed that sometimes there's a lack of joy? I definitely sometimes have a lack of joy. It's part of my personality growing up, and it's always been something that I have been seeking. And here we have part of the recipe, and it's, from what I can tell, it's a three-part recipe for having our joy full, and this is one of them, because it says, until now you've asked nothing in my name, Jesus is saying that, ask and you will receive. Is there joy in asking the Lord and receiving from Him? Absolutely. We have daily concerns. We have spousal concerns. We have concerns for our children. And we have concerns for the good work that God wants us to do. And sometimes we don't know the direction He wants to take us. But He says, ask. It's important to ask, isn't it? Do you give your kids what they want before they ask for it? Typically. No. In fact, and sometimes we say no because it's not good for them. And some, I'm still waiting for millions of dollars that I prayed for as a very young fella, and I have not received it yet. I'm still waiting. Because he knows what is best for each of us. So even if we ask, we will still receive a blessing, even if he says no, because he knows what is good for us. And we can have joy in knowing that our Father knows how to give us good gifts. And we know, and when we do you usually ask someone for something if you know they don't like you. Sometimes I have done that just for fun. Know that someone doesn't like me, so I'll beg them for a favor, and that sometimes that helps break some tension. But many times we don't do that. We don't ask favors of people we don't like or that you don't think like us. So if you're asking God and you have anticipation that he is going to answer, that means that you have a relationship. There's love and there's trust, and that can be built and go deeper and deeper. The next spot, we're going to flip back a page to chapter 15. And we're going to go through verses 9 to, I believe it's 9 and 10, John 15, 9 and 10. It says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And we're going to add verse 11 because that's the important one. "These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." Anybody know what abiding means? Resting? Yep. And remaining in something, staying with something, that's the very basic translation is you're remaining or staying. And you are doing so in the love of God. That's a pretty important part to the recipe, isn't it? So we're free to ask, and we can anticipate and have joy knowing that we will receive. And on top of that, we can abide in his love. We can stay in his love. And he says, and if we do that, if we have the love of God in our hearts, are the commandments going to be difficult to keep? What are the commandments basically teaching us? Character building. Yeah, absolutely. And if you love someone, do you intentionally do something to hurt them? In fact, you take pains to not hurt those that you love, right? If you love God, are you going to do things that you know hurt God? Hopefully not, but we all fall short because we are sinners and we do, you know, get a little rebellious at times and a little bit belligerent. And how about your friends and family and your coworkers and those in your community around you? If you love someone, are you going to want to steal from them? No. If you love someone, are you going to... You're not going to murder them, obviously. If you have love in your heart for others and you don't want to do anybody any harm, well, the commandments are basically... Breaking them is basically breaking an act of... It's performing an act of unlove, we'll say. An act of hatred. So if you're lying and cheating and stealing people, you are definitely showing that you have a lack of love in your heart. And if you love people, you might slip up once in a while. We're all sinners, as I mentioned, but overall, we're going to be taking positive actions towards other people's lives, and that is very fulfilling. So if we keep those commandments, if we are loving and caring for each other, and we are loving and appreciating God and what he is doing for us, he says his joy will remain in us and our joy will be full. Isn't it wonderful to have the idea and the anticipation that we will have fullness of joy? A few years back, there was a speaker, I can't remember his name, his ministry's name, any of that, but he mentioned movies and entertainment. And movies and entertainment are something that I just absolutely gobbled up growing up. And he said something, and you know how someone says something and it sticks with you. And you instantly know that he has just given you a truth, and or at least it's true for you. And one of the things that he mentioned, and this is what stuck with me, is that entertainment, the media that we have, is the devil's replacement, or sorry, counterfeit for joy. There's a movie that came out, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, I can't really remember. It was called Avatar. These giant blue people lived on a magical, you know, wonderful, a planet. And I had gone to see it, and, you know, it's the most beautiful thing that you could ever behold, like that our imaginations could come up with for what a perfect world would look like. Just an amazing job. People became instantly depressed when they exited the theater into their concrete jungle, to the point where they were painting themselves blue, taking those little flowery, whirly, twirly things, sticking them around these parks, and dancing through the grass, trying to recreate what they had seen, because they were so depressed with what we have in our concrete jungles on Earth that they... And what are they lacking that they're trying to get? They recognized their lack of joy that they had in their life. Their life was now depressing. They see something that could be a possibility, but to them, it's completely out of their reach. But we have something that we can hope for, because we know that heaven is going to be greater than anything that has come up with, and we know that God's love, regardless of where we live, is sufficient to fill us with joy, and we don't need to go to the entertainment of the world and the devil's counterfeit to do so. And that is a wonderful thing that he has. And now we're going to go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. All right, so far we have abiding or remaining in the love of God. We have asking and receiving what we are praying for, and abiding with the love of God, or having fellowship with God. All right, chapter 1, and we will just read we'll read verses 1 to 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. So we already have abiding with God, and abiding is, and trusting and fellowshipping with God. And now we have, where He reiterates fellowship with God, but He now adds in fellowship with each other. Fellowship, that you may have fellowship with us, your fellow brethren, and with God, that your joy may be full. There was a lady in a church, and she had a lack of joy because her life was quite bitter. There were some things that had happened, and she wasn't very happy. And she came to realize that she was holding on to some things that had happened and that she needed to forgive. And as she started forgiving, she would call me up and say, "I feel so much freer than I did before. Thank you for telling me that I was bitter." And I was like, no problem. I'm here to let you I'm here to let you know all your character defaults, and I'm willing to as well let you know what you can pray for to help solve some of them. And you know what? Over time, she started reconnecting and having some restoring some of those relationships, and she has much more joy now than she had before. But none of us are perfect, so we all have a ways to go, and I'm sure if you asked her, she would say she has a ways to go, although I did not ask her yet. But as we start reconnecting with each other, is it fun to be alone? And we have it when we're here, we see our friends and different people that we haven't seen for, well, now a couple years. And when we come together, are you happy to reconnect with each other? Now, how many of us will... actually, let's go to one more verse before we go there. So we have abiding in the love of God, asking and receiving, and having fellowship with God and with each other. Now we're going to jump back to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 21, and this reiterates what John had said in the verses that we just read in 1 John. And this is a famous one, that we all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, who is Jesus, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Can you imagine now being one with that cantankerous person in your church that you have a hard time getting along with? Can you imagine that relationship now being restored to the point where you are one with them? It's hard to see because the bar is up. There are some of those cantankerous people, and I have had the joy and privilege of working with them. And every once in a while, I wonder to myself, what on earth is going on? And how on earth is this ever going to be fulfilled, that we will be one with each other as God was one with Jesus? And there's a purpose to it. Yes, joy is part of it, but the purpose that God has for it is also for the world, that the world may believe that you have sent me, that you have sent Jesus. How does that work? How is the world going to know that Jesus was sent because we are one? They see the change. There's been a theme in all these verses. What's the main theme? Joy. And we just saw that in 1 John, he said, fellowship with your brethren, fellowship with us, and fellowship with God leads to fullness of joy. And in here, it's in verse 21 here, it says that they would may be one as you and I, Father, are one, that they would be one in us, that the world would know that you have been sent. Do you think that possibly the joy that we're going to have with each, the joy that's going to exist in our hearts and with each other, the hard times that we're going to go through, we know that they're coming, but these hard times are going to get us to press closer and closer together, and even through the hard times, we have joy. There's been many instances, one of them recently in South Africa, where some farmers were displaced, and this was a couple years ago, but they were very, very poor. But they banded together, and they pressed together, and they created themselves out of nothing a little happy little village that they could enjoy each other's community and fellowship with each other. And so regardless of the persecution that we go through, there's something that can never be taken, and that is the joy that we have with each other and the joy that we have with God. And when the world sees that we have joy in God and we have joy in each other and they can't take it away, are there going to be some people who are very desirous of this? Amen. Absolutely. It's a beautiful thing. But how on earth do you start going about such a lofty goal? Well, that's a good question. I guess I'll leave here. How many of you hang out with the people in your church outside of church? And I don't mean your family members in church. I mean you have good solid friends that you spend time with and enjoy outside of church. All right. And now how many of you spend time with the people that you don't really like in church throughout the week? Trying to do good and trying to get to know this cantankerous soul. Only at board meetings. My favorite thing. You know, we have those that have wronged us, and how do you take the time to get to know them? Well, it takes intention. You have to intentionally go about trying to know them. You have to intentionally ask God to take away those feelings that you have towards them, replace them with thoughts of love and care. They are a brother and sister, and it's difficult. It is difficult. But do we do things as a church with each other on a regular basis other than, and I don't mean just sitting down and eating a meal? Potlucks are great. Enjoy them. But do we spend time with each other, getting to know each other outside of church? A hike. Just getting to know someone, spending some time with them on a hike. Inviting someone over to a campfire. We've recently had someone in our community. She moved in. She's going through a rough time. We invited her over. We put a little fire in, and you know, she was able to relax and enjoy her time there because she was in a women's shelter. And you know, these things that we can do to show each other that we have love and compassion. How about if, as a church, we fixed up either someone's house who doesn't have much, or one of the elderly in our church, or maybe not even our church, maybe in our community, get together and do something as a team working for someone else's good. There are many different things that we can do together as a group that can knock down some of these barriers that we have between each other. Creating a community of fellowship and communion with each other is, I believe, of utmost importance, especially as we go through the more difficult times, and we know that more difficult times are coming. They tell us all these things like 6 months in advance, and then they all happen just like predicted, and we have, you know, food shortages going on in different places. So as things build up and as things progress, to have that community to rely on with each other, to enjoy each other, to lift each other up in prayer will be a mighty blessing that we can participate in. So once again, abiding in the love of God, asking and receiving His blessings, and having fellowship with God and with each other. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that You have such a wonderful plan in store for us. We can't see how we can be one with some of those that we are together with in our church congregations, but Lord, You have said that it will happen. We put our lives in Your hands. We pray that any barriers that we have in our hearts to having that work any apologies that we ourselves may have to make, any uncomfortable conversations that may have to be had. Lord, I pray that you would give us the ability to do so. You give us the strength to do so. And Lord, we also need ideas, because we've been doing things the same way so long, it's hard to come up with new ideas on how to interact with each other, especially going through the times that we just did, where many of us were not able to or allowed to be with one another. So Lord, moving forward, please put in our hearts and my heart ways to increase fellowship and connection between your children, your flock, that we would be one with each other as you are one in the Father, and that we may be one in you. We thank you so much for doing so and for accomplishing your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.